This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
Good afternoon. Big news day. Massive weekend of football. I want to discuss later in this podcast some of the key discussion points coming out of some absolutely incredible games and talking points over the weekend. But just to kick things off this afternoon, Carlton has accepted Hayes's 2-week suspension for rough conduct for his tackle on Sam Menegola. There'll be a lot of discussion about that tackle this week. Bucks did observe Nathan Buckley on Fox Footy that it was a fairly heavy hit, but it did look fairly innocuous, the tackle itself. I'm mindful of the impact on Menegola. He was concussed again. He suffered a separate concussion in the VFL around May, and this is obviously a blow for Sam, who's now broken his way back into the Geelong side and was looking forward to having a big impact, and hopefully still will, coming into the final series as far as the Cats are concerned. But this type of tackle is clearly a grey area. It obviously wasn't careless by a big margin, but the serious issue here was the fact that it was deemed dangerous. In determining whether it's dangerous, they look at, that's the AFL, things like vulnerability. Under the old rules, you had to have both arms pinned to be considered vulnerable. In this instance, now one arm pinned is sufficient under the rules. And clearly, whilst it wasn't careless by a big margin, the MRO, and in particular Michael Christian, has looked at the vulnerability, looked at the fact that he had one arm pinned, looked at the fact that there was no second motion, there was quite a lot of force involved. And in this instance, they've found that that's a 2-week suspension, clearly having a high regard to the factor here of concussion. So I think it's a positive story insofar as the AFL acting on a concussion. Obviously difficult for Hayes and Will Produce to debate about that type of tackle, but that was the AFL's decision. They've obviously determined that it's dangerous. In determining that it's dangerous, they look at the things like vulnerability, whether he had, in this instance, one arm pinned and the force involved, and they were the determining factors in the end, concluding that it was careless. It was obviously on the bottom end of the careless range, but it's cost Hayes and the Blues 2 weeks.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's news.
The Saints incredibly disappointing against the Bulldogs. Friday night football, it was a massive stage. St Kilda had everything to play for, in particular basically a spot in the eight. They didn't really put up a yelp for at least the first three quarters. That was obviously a major issue, but they've got a further injury blow, I understand, this week. We knew that Paddy Ryder obviously hurt his Achilles and he's part of his calf on Friday night. My information this morning is that will end his season. Now, that hasn't been confirmed yet by St Kilda. I've put it to them. They're still getting some further information in regards to that. But that's obviously off the back of that 28-point defeat to the Western Bulldogs Friday night. It's left St Kilda in a particularly vulnerable position from a top eight perspective. But it's my understanding at this stage that Paddy Ryder will miss a significant chunk, or at least potentially the remainder of the season, with that Achilles slash calf issue, which he has had troubles with before, the 34-year-old. So that's a blow for Ryder, who really is a barometer for the Saints and indeed St Kilda's finals chances now.
This is Tom Brown's news, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Here at first on Listener.
More controversy over the weekend surrounding the umpiring interpretation of Jack Ginnivan. The Pies just scraping over the line against Adelaide in Adelaide on Saturday. But this has been an issue now for at least a couple of weeks. Look, no matter what position you've got on this, whether you think Ginnivan goes to ground too much or he doesn't, or whether you think that they're correctly applying the rule or the amended rule in terms of ducking into what constitutes a legal tackle, I think what's pretty obvious is that the umpires are applying a different interpretation to Ginnivan than they were for the first two-thirds of the season. Collingwood tell me at the moment they're not seeking formal clarification at this stage from the AFL. That could possibly be changed, but I'll certainly be pressing the AFL at least to explain this week why the examples, which I think Kane Corn showed very well on the Sunday Footy Show again yesterday, why he's being interpreted differently. So park the fact that he might be ducking or, you know, putting his head down to one side. Some people would like him to stand up more in the tackle. That's fair enough. Park that issue to one side. Park any rule amendment to one side. The fact is the interpretation to Ginnivan has changed two-thirds of the way through the season. And I think that deserves at least clarification from the AFL and the umpiring department.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just regarding Tasmania, the plan is for a vote in August. There is a view, it's only a view, of some clubs at the moment, a couple of clubs, that this might now not even get to a vote and be put to the clubs unless the Tasmanians can present a stadium as part of that proposal. At the moment, there's no detail on a stadium. There's no additional detail on a stadium. It's not contained in the existing Tasmanian proposal, the informal one, which is submitted to the AFL in about June. And some club presidents think that it wouldn't even be appropriate to come to them by way of a vote, that is a new team, unless that proposal can include a stadium. And the AFL's own document has been referred to me in these discussions with at least a couple of clubs. The AFL produced some comments on the Colin Carter Review, which is the sort of document or the major document, if you like, on the formation of a Tasmanian team. That was Colin Carter's investigation into the viability of it. And the AFL themselves said any outcome is dependent on locking in state government funding guarantees and provision of appropriate stadia and related facilities in Tasmania, and these should be finalised ahead of any decision. Some clubs are concerned that both those haven't been finalised. That's the government funding and in particular the stadium. And there's some doubt now as to how they will be finalised before the vote. Those clubs I've spoken to also want this information pronto, because they don't want to be lobbed with the information on the day of the vote, or they don't want to be ambushed on the day of the vote. They want this information and Tasmania's formal proposal about now, so they can make a proper consideration and a proper decision ahead of the vote and go through all the information. There's also a strong view still on the part of a couple of those clubs that the contents of the Carter Report have been overlooked and the AFL's own comments have been overlooked, and they're still not supportive of a 19th licence. The AFL said themselves in this document following the Carter Report, it said the case can be made for a 19th licence, but relocation of an existing team, if a club is prepared to take that path, or a joint venture between Tasmanian stakeholders and a Victorian team that secures strong support in two markets from the outset, would arguably produce a more sustainable outcome and therefore should be considered before a 19th licence. And a couple of clubs don't think that's been sufficiently considered, and that's sort of been overlooked by the Tasmanian bid. There's a lot going on in that space. The AFL sort of had radio silence in regard to Tasmania recently, but the key issues now is the lack of a stadium as part of the proposal, whether that vote should even get to the clubs. The AFL's own document that said that the stadium and the funding should be secured clearly before there's a decision on a team, and also the AFL's own words that consideration should have been given to a JV or relocation of an existing team before discussion of a 19th licence, and some clubs are concerned that it never really went down that path, which was the AFL's own path. So that's the latest in regards to what's going on there in the background.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's news.
North are on the hunt for a coach. You would have seen perhaps the picture of Ben Amafio, the existing North CEO, meeting with Bucks. They went for a walk on Friday. They're good friends. I think Ben would have, he knew the answer, sounded out Bucks about his interest in coaching. But Bucks at the moment very much sticking with his teenage boys and also his media commitment. So he's not in the market to return to coaching at this stage, Nathan Buckley. But clearly North are on the hunt. Sonia Hood, their president, said over the weekend that she's keen to speak to Alistair Clarkson's manager, James Henderson. And no doubt she'd probably endeavour to do that as soon as this week. I think Clarko was at the golf of all things last night. He certainly investigates world sport, that's for sure. Ross Lyon, though, is setting the agenda on all this because he was obviously on the Sunday Rub, great part of the Triple M family, Ross Lyon, and was asked by Jay Clark yesterday about his interest in North Melbourne. Ross addressing this issue publicly for the first time.
So, look, it's gratifying. They're canvassing a lot of people. I've got no certainty for you either way. I haven't got a definitive answer whether I'm interested. North Melbourne rang me and, you know, I took that call from Jay Rawlings. So Carlton rang and that was a bit different. But so you always take a call and you always respect people. And sometimes you might be able to help what they're looking for if you're not the right person. So no definitive answer. It is gratifying. They're canvassing everyone in the industry and they'll run a process. And
there you go. Ross Lyon sort of leaving the door ajar, in my view. Yesterday, I think a lot of us in the industry that know Ross would love to see him return to coaching. Look, that's a decision for Ross. He's obviously involved in property at the moment. But you think Alistair Clarkson would be their first port of call. They'd obviously look at Adam Simpson as well, who's been pretty clear that he's not interested and West Coast's not interested in parting with Adam Simpson. So I would have thought Ross would be in pole position there for North to at least sound out. And let's face it, as I think they touched on this yesterday, and Ross made it clear, it's not about money, but North would pay big money for someone like Ross, you know, over $1 million a year. Perhaps money at the end of the day might talk. Ross would go there for the right reasons, but I think there's a lot to play out in that space. Just keep an eye on that. But Ross, that were his comments yesterday on Triple M. Just in terms of one following North's shock, massive, fantastic win over Richmond over the weekend, Sonia Hood, the president, said, "Our list, not bad." That was in response to some criticism of Sonia's comments last week in the press conference where they parted ways with David Noble, where she said that their list was pretty good. My only comment in regards to that tweet is that North, I think, will seek a priority pick at the end of the year. So if you were going to seek a priority pick at the end of the year, I wouldn't suggest it's necessarily sensible sending out a tweet saying our list not bad, because it suggests the list isn't bad. So I thought that was an interesting tweet over the weekend. Cam Zerha is out of contract. There will be a number of clubs, particularly the Western Australian ones, that's where he's from, looking at him. He kicked 6 goals and was in really, really good form. He's technically available. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. No doubt his manager, Anthony McConville, will be working through that at the moment. They've at the moment delayed those talks until at least now or at the end of the season. There'll be a lot of demand for Cam Zerha.
This is Tom Brown's News, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Here at First on Listener.
And I'll just whip through some brief ones to conclude today's podcast. The latest on the AFL search for Gil McLachlan's replacement. Gil was on the Gold Coast this morning speaking at an IGA event, a Metcash event, where he's talking about his leadership style and his management style and some of the challenges that he's confronted as CEO of the AFL over the journey. So it was an interesting speech. Someone sent me through a copy of that. But in terms of the latest search for his replacement, I've been told over the weekend the AFL is doing extensive psychometric testing on the candidates. Now, I'm not an expert in psychometric testing. It's obviously very popular in executive search searches, where basically you look at candidates' psychological profile, their strengths, their weaknesses, what they're good at. They might be particularly numerate. They might have particularly good people skills. All those things can come out through psychometric, which is essentially psychological testing. The AFL's doing that at the moment. I'm told they're doing it pretty extensively. No doubt there'd be some intriguing results in all that. Just briefly, some news nuggets from the weekend in terms of some talking points this week. It's a good one to go through on a Monday. Sydney now, clearly a top four chance. They've got Adelaide, the Giants, North, Collingwood and St Kilda coming up. They've got a good run home, the Swans. They're a massive, massive chance for the top four. The Saints and the Suns, incredibly disappointing over the weekend. The Saints, 28-point losers to the Dogs. So the Suns went down by 48 points to Essendon. Look, I like Brett Ratton and Stuart Dew, but I think it's another case in point. Why would you extend the coach when there was no pressure for either to get signed to another club? They could have waited until the end of the season. I'm not saying both weren't good decisions, but I just thought both teams had very disappointing results over the weekend. Collingwood scraped home again over in Adelaide. If you're a Pies supporter, you need heart tablets at the moment, but it's worth it. They keep getting over the line. Adams, Quaynor and Henry all to come back, in particular Adams and Quaynor. Grundy's not far off either. I think he might come back through the VFL, but hopefully in a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, Grundy could play a big role in the very back part of the season and hopefully the finals. The Giants, 40 points losers against the Lions, 55 points the week before. I don't think that bodes well for McVay's chances of getting the full-time job. Look, I hope he gets a good look at that, because I know there's a lot of supporters for him, including James Hurd, but those results are going against the Giants at the moment. Geelong, clearly now flag favourite, 30-point winners. They held Mackay goalless on Saturday night. That was an incredibly good performance. And Essendon, I reckon they've saved the truck. There's a joke going at Essendon that I call Ben Rutten not Truck, which apparently is his nickname, but the Truck. Anyway, first things first, they've had 3 good wins down in a row, the Bombers. I think the Truck's pretty safe. Sam Draper arguably kicking the goal of the year. That wraps up a big news afternoon on the podcast. Don't miss another instalment on Thursday. Thanks so much for joining me. Triple M rocks football.
That was Tom Brown's news. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more, and subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener or wherever you listen to get all our podcasts throughout the season. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.